Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike, let's hit the road.
Hello, everybody. Sorry, I ran a little long. I'm expecting these guys to pop a couple of things in here and there and try and interrupt us again as usual. But so what's up, Nora?
Not a whole lot. How's everything on that end?
Everything's good on my end, but Bill's still got a few battles he's handling.
It's understandable.
Yeah.
I'll be here as long as you need me. That's fine.
Oh, no worries. No worries. You're getting better at it.
I'm getting there.
What we were going to talk about was that friend of yours that I guess somebody shot and killed her son over the weekend?
A girl that I grew up with. We've known each other since babies. They live in a rural part of Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
It was the most hideous thing I've ever seen known to man. I told you. Huh?
I told you. Every time we start talking, they're going to do that shit. They like playing games.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. But now the sheriff's department had received a call in Gannon County, Tennessee. Someone in a black pickup truck having stolen scrap metal in it. Okay, my girlfriend's son had gotten home. They have a large amount of acre property. So he pulls in, doing some donuts, you know, on the property, no big deal. There's no really close neighbors, per se, and nothing to hurt, not even himself.
Right.
The police were doing their, they were coming down the road, saw the truck doing donuts. The truck fit the description in regards to the color.
Uh-huh.
Instead of them having the probable cause to come onto the property, which they did not, they came onto the property and opened up fire on him as he was doing donuts and killed him in his vehicle.
Wow.
And he bled out. They didn't go to transport him out. They had him sit for 45 minutes in his vehicle while he bled out, and not even understanding if he was a perp or not on a call that they had received at station.
Well, what was that? His brother said he was trying to get him to stop shooting. He
right.
said he hollered at him 3 times, but they just kept going.
Exactly.
Wow.
And, you know, the sad thing is,
I don't understand
how they
could, yeah, I don't understand how they were in fear of their lives if they just got out and started shooting.
Well, exactly. Well, they shouldn't have came and approached the vehicle in the first place the way that they did. You don't come pulling... You don't go up on somebody's property, private property, with your guns drawn, assuming that this is a perp in regards to what they received a phone call on. Needless to say, here's an innocent man that was shot and killed. And the only thing that, right now it's under investigation, the officers are on off duty until the investigation is done. But the bottom line, how can anyone do that and get away with it?
Yeah, exactly.
Because, like I said, they didn't have a probable cause. Probable cause would sit there, they'd have to know for a fact that was the person, that is the vehicle.
Well, according to the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Deputies were in the air responding to a report of stolen scrap metal. So they just picked out this black truck. They said it was in a black pickup, so they just assumed this was the guy, huh?
Exactly.
And
never go under assumption.
Yeah, and then one of the neighbors said, then it was pop, pop, pop. And she said she watched the whole tragic thing unfold.
I know. It was just horrific. And the sad thing was, it was 3 years to the day that my girlfriend had buried her younger child.
Wow.
That her oldest son was killed.
Wow. That's some fucked up shit.
And, you know, you saw the video like I did. How crazy is that?
Yeah.
You know, the police weren't in fear for their life, like they stated. He wasn't out to run them over. He didn't even realize they were coming up on the property.
No. If you got it, put that, you can put the video up in the chat room so people can see it.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's crazy, man.
Yeah, that was the worst thing I've ever witnessed. You know, and the saddest thing is being around her and her children, because they're close to my kids' age, you know, and that's just what just killed it. Kids 28 years old, you know, that's the bottom line. And, you know, they forcibly came on the property without any hesitation whatsoever, no probable cause, just for a simple fact of thinking, well, here's a vehicle that fits the description, but they're, guess what? It was an empty pickup truck.
Yeah. Wow.
And until they killed him, they didn't know that his pickup truck was empty.
Yeah, right.
And here is an innocent person dead.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
Well, you know, I look at it. It's Tennessee for you. Let's see him slip, folks.
Yeah.
So when, you know, people want to sit there and say, well, you know, we're supposed to trust. We're supposed to believe that they're supposed to be here to protect and serve. What do you can't classify that as protect and serve. You classify that as they're justifying their call.
Yeah.
That was at the station to justify the fact of we're coming on private property.
Yeah, but what they're probably going to do is go back and look and see if this kid, the last time he took a shit, blame him for everything, and that's why they had to shoot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, but as you read and as you saw in the video, they were trying to justify the fact, well, you know, he was going to run us over.
Wow.
Well, if they would have stayed back instead of wrongfully coming on the private property, you know, which they were approaching a moving vehicle, he didn't realize they were there. So how could he be in the fact of trying to, you know, do like vehicular manslaughter here? That's just not going to happen.
No.
You know, having fun.
Yeah. Let me bring this guy in.
Okay.
Hello, Merlin.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm catching part of it.
You're in Alabama, aren't you?
Actually, I rolled through Alabama. I crossed into Georgia about 15 miles back.
Okay, well, stay out of Tennessee. They happen to shoot people over there.
It do happen, but let me get this straight. They walked onto private property on a night. Without announcing themselves, without warrant, without in pursuit. So probable cause is a real question. And they shot the man, shot and killed this man when he got into his truck and back down the driveway?
No, he was in his vehicle just doing donuts. There must be like 15 acres of property.
So he was on his own property playing in the dirt with his truck.
He was on his own property. Right.
And they shot and killed him because he was making donuts on the lawn.
Well, they assumed he was the perp in regards to a phone call that came into the sheriff's department earlier, a black pickup truck.
Yeah, but stolen scrap iron, is that what I heard?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
And there was nothing in the truck. It wasn't him.
Yeah.
So they wrongfully came onto private property, approached a vehicle that was donuts, and they stated that they were in fear for their lives, and they opened up and fired on him. They emptied their clips in that truck. In the chat room, we got the link on. If you click on it and watch that video, and it even shows the article, you know, what took place. It's horrendous. I mean, they had no cause to go on the private property.
It sounds like it's an absolute wrongful death and not only no probable cause, but trespass.
Exactly.
Or armed intruder, really. Because if they didn't identify themselves, they can't even say, well, you know, we told him that we were cops and he just kept rolling around or driving around at us.
Right.
But that, it sounds like, bullshit's the word that comes to mind a bunch.
Well, exactly.
At least, you know, however many officers there were at as they walk up to the truck and realize that, oh, hell, this is nothing like what we thought it might have been. Even if what is now being said were true, this is nothing like what we thought. Crap, now what do we do? And so there's a quick council of defense, you know, get the story straight talk.
Yeah.
And, God, I hope. Is the TBI... the Tennessee Bureau, are they investigating this or are they the...
Yeah, the TBI is investigating it. So right now the officers that were in play, and I don't mean it that way, but the officers that were there at the scene, they are on leave right now.
They're administrative leave
being
paid while they figure out the story to cover their ass.
Right. Because it was unjustified. But they have to figure out now a way to justify their actions of going on private property without fully being warranted to do so.
Well, if there's anything you come up with short of hot pursuit or a warrant has holes in it.
Right.
And they obviously weren't in hot pursuit.
No, he was already home on the property when they pulled up.
And so, you know, God.
They walked up on the property. He didn't even know that they were there. Because, it's not like there's street lights there. So it was dark. He just has his headlights on. He's just farting around on his own property, you know. Yeah. And lo and behold, pow, 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 here we go.
God. Well, I do have some faith in outside agencies. Well, the system, but only if there's an outside agency, and the Tennessee Bureau is going to be an outside agency looking at the agency. If the local police are investigating the local police or the U.S. Navy is investigating the U.S. Navy, I got a problem there. But
right.
You get a completely different outfit. It does, your probability of finding truth goes up. And I do have some faith in that. But what you... As Tennessee citizens, what I would suggest is an email and a letter writing campaign to the Attorney General of the state and the state legislatures, especially the committee that oversees law enforcement and law enforcement budgets, and the TBI, and just keep, you know, going. Where do we get, what answers are we coming up with, and when do we get them, go back. You say this woman, this is the eldest son?
I grew up with her. Yeah,
okay.
I grew up with her.
Your friend.
We've known each other since
Okay, that explains the anguish in your voice.
Right.
So your friend lost 3 years ago she lost her youngest child, and now
she
this is her oldest boy.
She buried her daughter 3 years ago Monday, and her son was shot on the same day.
Oh,
3 years difference.
I really feel for her. That's an unimaginable tragedy. Those of us who've ever been mothers lost a child, and then to lose a remaining son.
Well, she has one son left out of three kids. And, you know, the saddest thing is, you know, the tragic here, you know, is just so overwhelming. How can,
yeah.
And that's why, you know, she is just a mess. I mean, come on, we're parents.
Understandably.
But, you know, here, her son, her middle son is, you know, yelling for them to stop as they're still opening fire. You know, and then there's a small little girl on the porch watching the same thing.
Holy crap.
You know, I mean, the girl, I she's got to be like 3 or 4, you know, and this is what somebody wants to say. Come on, that child is going to be scarred. We know that.
Oh, God. If the state or the local, if the county, the local jurisdiction, the, you know, mayor, county counselor, if somebody hasn't been out there with a crisis counselor team to, you know, try and help that family cope with everything, and then, you know, the victim's rights people need to be there, you know, and this is where you start. One of the things that people forget, including the people in these jobs, the local district attorney, his job is not to protect the county or the city or the bureaucracy. His job is to protect the people of that city or county or state. So you should be able to go to the district attorney and demand, you know, investigation from there.
Right.
You know, I don't know what it would take. In some places, you can as a citizen on an event like this, you know, demand a grand jury investigation.
Right.
And I would, you know, it's just there's all of these different avenues to put the question, and then try with large groups of people apply pressure.
Right.
And there is no wrong avenue to demand truth or justice. Okay.
Yeah.
If you go to the hospital that this young man was taken to,
right,
and, you know, demand that everybody that talked with the man, everybody that worked on his case or anything like that, that they do for their own personal records and possibly for later, please write down everything you remember. Just write it down like it was a letter or anything.
Right.
No format is wrong format. Write it down,
right.
Record it, tape recording. Get your thoughts, impressions, and recollections collected and saved now. And so you remind these people that this is going to be there will be an investigation.
Right.
And what I would like you to do is to be able to as truthfully and as completely help with everything you can. So would you be so kind as to, you know, write it down or tape record it or, you know,
well,
put it on your computer,
right.
Put it on your computer while you're sitting there looking at the monitor and the,
right.
You know, the ability to record stuff now is so much better. That's, you know, than ever before.
Right.
But you have to remind people that you will be asked. You know, the probability of you, the attending surgeon, being subpoenaed to answer questions on this is very high. Please get the truth in a saved method now so that you don't have to go, I don't
and
know.
And try and remember.
You know, to try and remember under the pressure of an investigation is
right.
Difficult.
Exactly, and plus the trauma for the family itself. You know,
yeah.
I mean, they're thinking 5,000 speeds ahead. you know, and so they're trying to replay everything in their brain. So 1 minute it could be one way, and the next minute it's going to be something else. I understand exactly what you're saying.
And then people will talk to you, and your impressions of what might have happened might get skewed by how somebody's talking to you. And the local law enforcement agency involved, they've dealt with this kind of stuff before.
Right.
Stupid shit is something they deal with entirely too often. And so they already know, we got to do this. So they've started writing it down, and they've started, you know, if it's necessary, and it sounds like it would be, skewing the answers to certain questions. And they already know that their defense mechanism is in play, and they're working it. Unfortunately, what you have to do is you can't get ahead of them because you just don't have the skills or the resources.
Right.
But to try and take a cold look beyond the personal loss, beyond the loss of your friend and her family, and say, no, I have to take a cold edge on this thing, and we need to write it all down or get it all tape recorded now. And if you get a video recording of everybody who witnessed something, and then there's a couple other people standing there being recorded as, you know, witnesses and everything else, to whatever you do, you know, it's got a witness involved where it's you know, signed, or a holographic where you're doing it on video. And you just, that keeps building your case. It keeps closing a loophole someplace. Somebody, well, we can't use this because there's no corroboration. You got two people standing there saying, yes, we know that's exactly what she saw. We were standing there too, and we're standing here now stating that this is a true statement of fact. You have to start thinking like your worst enemy, a lawyer, and yet that right now is exactly what you need, is that kind of cold-blooded farsightedness.
Right.
And the way to pick a good lawyer is find the one that's got the expensive car in town, because he's the one that's winning.
Hang on one second. 909.
Hey, Phil, it's Diana Chato.
Hey, Mike, I'll call you back.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about. Don't want to interrupt.
Okay. Well, hang on a second. You can catch up. But we're talking about a guy who got shot by the Tennessee police on his own property, and they came out without a warrant, just opened up and killed him in his truck.
Oh, wow.
All right, I'm gonna mute you, and then we'll come back.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead.
It's very difficult because there has to be these idiots have to be held accountable.
Exactly.
And, you know, 30 days because, well, justified shooting. If you're not being shot at, it's not justified to shoot back. It's that simple.
Right.
Except when you're trying to play some games.
Right.
Most officers are not taught what in the military we used to call fire discipline.
Right.
There were four officers? Is that what I heard?
Yeah.
To unload, you know, at least one clip a piece into a moving vehicle and nobody shooting back, that's blind ass panic. Somebody fired a round and everybody went, holy crap, and just started squeezing triggers. And this, the officers aren't taught fire discipline. You've got failure of training. You've got failure of somebody was in charge. And, you know, that's, you've got leadership failure. You've got failure of training. You've got failure of just following the law.
Right.
So all of these different aspects all need to be brought up and pointed out to somebody.
Yeah.
Because if you don't point it out, nobody else will.
Exactly.
No.
You know, and that's a shame because there is no weapons on the property at all. None.
Yeah.
Not even
in
the vehicle.
And they stated that
he had died at the hospital. No, he died on the property.
Yeah, they left him in the truck.
You know how it is. They left him in the truck.
Left.
Bleeding out for 45 minutes.
They let him sit in the truck and bleed out.
They didn't. Holy crap.
And the ambulance was there.
Yeah.
The ambulance was there.
And the bad part is there's several witnesses to this whole incident.
So they refused to allow the EMTs to do the job they were called out for.
Right, and the neighbor said after he let the first round go, the car immediately started to roll backward and he kept firing. He didn't stop until he unloaded his gun.
Yeah, well that's the fire discipline. They just squeeze it off till all of a sudden, and usually there's about three empty clicks before the clown figures out that it's not making as much noise now.
Right,
it's stupid.
But it's sad,
but
you know, because there's a life that's gone.
Callous intent to allow this man to die while the medical assistance is within yards. That's a whole separate criminal charge right there. Under what pretext could they possibly have said, no, don't go near it. We don't know what's going on. Well, damn it, you put your gun back in your holster and you bring out your flashlight and go find the hell out. That's what you get paid for, jerk.
Right.
Yeah.
Jeez, you don't get paid to just, you know, shoot and scoot.
Right.
Right.
Oh. Yeah,
hello, Diane.
I was having
what
a good
do you think
day.
About
I wasn't
that?
Mad at anything. Now I'm mad at Tennessee.
Hello.
I'm mad at local law enforcement.
That was Gannon County. That was Gannon County Sheriff's.
I'm not familiar with the counties. I've been in and out of the Russellville area and Nashville and all of that. In fact, Charlie Baker, I spent more than a few really fun days in Tennessee last year. I'd have probably wandered up there now, except that it's cold. I am truly sorry for you and for your personal loss, because this is someone you knew and cared about, and then your friend, which is very close to you, and her loss. This is a tragic personal loss, and I am truly sorry for that. And I am sorry that the local law enforcement is so screwed up.
Head up their butt, yeah.
That
got a couple of callers who want to chime in. Hello, Diane.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Wow, that's a pretty crazy story. I'm so sorry. I don't know whose friend it was or what.
It was mine. Thank you.
Nora's been stepping in while Bill's taking care of business.
Okay. Wow, it's hard to even know what to say. How to balance again, you know, that's what happens. They get a gun and a badge, and sometimes they just think.
Well, you know, according to John out of New Jersey, the feds have been pouring billions into local and state law enforcement for the last 15 years. So, yeah, no wonder they're out of control and unaccountable.
Yeah, they've lowered the standards on what it takes to be a good cop, and up the armament.
Yeah.
So you've got the same thing we dealt with years ago. You got a bunch of cops out there who've been given half a toolbox, a third of a set of instructions, and they're pointed going go, and so you end up with them making it up as they get along, and. You know, we dealt with this. We saw it. We continue to see it. In the helmet fight, it was rare when a pistol was pulled, but it happened. You know, this is even nutsier because there's no reason for these guys to have even, you know, gone on with guns drawn.
We got Diane. Let her comment. And Fran, you're also unmuted. You can comment after Diane.
Okay.
Go ahead, Diane.
I had already said you know, I didn't hear the whole story, so I just wanted to express our sincere condolences for whoever's lost, and then again, and that our police force here and everywhere, you know, suffer from the same things. They're not trained properly and not given the right resources, and everybody plays by a different set of rules, so unimaginable things happen, and it sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
Wow. Go ahead, Fran.
Well, I guess I'm going to be the dark horse. And being the dark horse, I really have to ask if sometimes, if the police department or agencies, whatever, are not being used as executioners. Not being disrespectful. I mean, we've had here in San Diego where they broke into a house and actually ended up killing a couple people in the house, only to find out that they were at the wrong address.
Right. They've been doing that a lot lately.
Yeah. I mean, here in San Diego, I mean, the police force actually killed a homeless man with sticks. I mean, if he's got sticks and you've got guns and tasers, you had to kill him?
Yeah.
When you're saying training, what type of training are we actually talking about?
Exactly.
And not only that, when you consider everything that it has been going on, the TA supposedly being able to do all of this work and are actually worse at it than some of us citizens that seem to be able to catch the nuances of what's going down, I have to wonder. I have to question. I don't know what the answer is, but I really want to kind of put forth, and I do feel sorry for the family because no one should have to endure that. Nobody should.
Nobody. Period.
Yeah. I mean, that's really, especially on an anniversary day. I mean, that's even worse.
Right.
So instead of celebrating one, you're now having to mourn both at the same time. And there's no, at that point, there is no rest.
No.
And there's always going to be in the back of my mind, you know, back of your mind, of what could be done differently, what, you know, and so forth. Now, when it was interesting because I had a great deal of trouble getting on the show tonight. Somehow, as I was listening to you through the computer, my computer actually froze. And I am now doing a full computer scan because my computer froze up about just when the person was telling her what to do with, you know, recording the information and so forth.
Fran, that was Merlin.
Merlin,
yeah,
hi,
are
Merlin.
You? How are you, Fran?
I'm doing good, honey.
Oh, good.
It was just interesting because I say my computer completely froze. So I actually had to do a complete shutdown, and I've restarted, and I'm doing a complete scan. And, of course, yes, it's not on the Internet at this moment. Calling you. My phone froze up calling you.
Yeah. Well, that's because we have interlopers here who think they can do shit and mess with the show. So... you just hear music take off, you know who's doing it.
That's right. I just hung up and redialed. if I can put in, I don't take no very well.
Really?
However, if I may, when one, if you can bring a picture, that will oftentimes trigger people's mind quicker than anything that you can say. Two.
There's a video on the internet.
No. When you are talking to individuals,
Uh-huh.
The video could be later.
Right.
So if you're just doing one-on-one.
Yeah.
Over a cup of coffee, over a cup of tea, and without anybody else around, just sitting over, you know, at a table, and having a picture and saying, do you remember? And what generally will happen is a person will say, no, I really don't remember. That's when you bring in one phrase or two phrases of what actually happened. And you have to allow the person to time to actually think.
Right.
All right. Now, once a person is allowed to actually think, all of a sudden, one thing will come out. And as that one thing comes out, you might mention another piece, and then all of a sudden that will open up another whole avenue. And, yes, I am actually speaking from experience. And
uh-huh.
What happened was I was a New York State Supreme Court-ordered interpreter in New York. There was a book being written, and I figured, this is more than 10 years later. What the hell do you think you're going to get? Well, 2 hours, we were actually conversing. And the man was very impressed that wrote the book and was very surprised that, you know, all the stuff that I could remember, because it kind of unfolds itself if you allow the person the time to do that.
Right.
Now, oftentimes, meeting somebody in their comfort zone, their coffee house, their—I wouldn't necessarily say house because this is a different type of situation.
Yeah.
But you do want to meet at their comfort zone.
Yeah.
Okay. Tape recorder is nice, but again, one-on-one. Don't bring in other people. Because then they'll start saying, well, gee, what was their part in this? But, yes, it is important to obtain that information now. Everyone who was there has to be in record. Now, as far as the police go, they'll say, well, no, we don't have that. And you'll have to figure that you'll have to tell her how to go about getting that documentation, and what's going to happen is they're going to fold up saying because it's already in a police investigation, they're not obligated to talk to you.
No.
And we know that. I mean, that's a given. God, I should have been a fucking lawyer. Excuse my language.
There's a few of us that have wondered why we do this from the outside instead of from the inside.
Oh, but, hey, I just found out yesterday that come May, I'll be out of work, so this is kind of, you know, this is kind of, you know, go by whatever.
Wow.
You know something? I'm not worrying about it because I've always landed on my feet. I will land on my feet again.
Okay.
Now, for this young lady, though, there are, as far as when you were saying about people coming in and doing the emotional.
Right.
Yes, the three-year-old is not going to remember it now.
No.
Unfortunately, when that child gets to be, let's say 11, it's probably going to start having nightmares. When it's about 16, there's going to be more emotional problems.
Right.
The child's not going to understand why that's happening. It's just that that's all happening.
Yeah. Hold on 1 second. Hello, 508.
Hello.
Hey, Stacy.
How are you?
Stacy, we have Fran, Merlin, and Nora on the phone, and Diane.
Well, hello, Fran, Merlin, and Diane, the other people. I already know you guys.
Yes.
Wow, what a hot topic for tonight. One of my favorite things to talk about, how dirty the law enforcement is.
Oh, yeah. Wow, this one's dirty.
Yeah, that's what I was reading.
Did you see the video or the link that I posted in the chat room or no?
No. No,
yeah,
I haven't taken a look at it.
Yeah, it'll also show the newspaper clipping from it. It's just disgusting. You know, and they say that there's no police brutality out there. What do you call this?
Are you kidding? Come on. There's more.
Hey, what, do you live on a cloud?
Yeah, please.
Try and keep the newspaper hot and bothered about this. If you can keep the local news media asking questions or looking for information or provide them with more information and just find out who's writing the article and work up basically a relationship to where you can keep something in the paper every so often, every couple of days or something like that. Keep it alive, because that will help you keep it alive in other people's memories and in their thoughts, and keep the question from just rolling off, which is one of the things that the agencies and the bureaucracy depends on.
When people shut up and stop talking about it, that's when they just kind of like resurface.
That's when they stop looking at themselves, because they know nobody else is. Good point about the newspaper.
If at that point, then one should do what they have done here, which is having a running marathon, a motorcycle event, but having it, and you do need to make friends with somebody or one or two of the television stations that's local.
Right.
Because if you can get
the word out.
What's happened well here is when they were doing, when someone was killed, they did a marathon to do money in the child's name. In this case, it would be two children's names.
Right.
Okay. But now, then there would be T-shirts, whatever,
with
the name. Right. That you got it.
Yeah, you don't let the name just fade into the cracks. You keep it, there. You keep it in front of people's faces.
Keep it in front.
Yeah.
But the thing is when you make something, a name is a name. When you can tie it to a face and you can make it human, all right, now people take it personal. Now, I don't know about the schools. Has anyone even thought about that? The schools need counseling, because the friends and everybody else that went to school with these children. I mean, it's more than just the family. I mean, it's the family, it's the friends, it's the community at large. And that's what has to be addressed.
How is the community going to look at Gannon County Sheriffs again? Period.
Well, every time you see a sheriff car, the view of this is the guy your mom said was out there to help you and protect you is now gone.
Exactly. That was gone ancient history ago.
Yeah. And, but, God. It's.
Now that you mentioned God, bringing a church in on this.
Yeah, bring in the church.
Yeah, right. But I don't know. Sometimes when you mix church with state, you get
bad. What you're doing is at that point it becomes a march.
Well, people who get involved with the church, and I'm not knocking the church. Don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking it. But sometimes instead of a good cause, it turns into kind of like a radical cause, and that's what you don't want. You know what I'm saying? They did wrong, and you want to show the opposite side of the spectrum here.
No. Sometimes the radical, and sometimes the more radical it is, actually puts it in the light that it needs to be in to achieve.
Yeah, but it's not a positive thing. You know what I'm saying? The people that are hurting want to come across as positive. You know, a positive disposition to squash the opposition. You know, and it's like if you go with some type of radical solution, then you know, people looked well, just as morally wrong as the people who did the crime, you know? So
if I may.
Yeah.
At this point, it's like making an initial list of, okay, what can we do? And one of the things you can do is church. You can event, fundraiser, media blitz, church, counseling for friends of the family, for the other school children. And so there's no wrong answer when you're brainstorming and writing it all down. And then when you get to the church thing and you say, okay, what would I want the church to help with? Some fundraising for the family who has this tragic loss going on, and to help kind of draw the community together, and maybe there's a little healing can come out of this, and that's what church and church community can do. Now, some churches I wouldn't turn loose with a good idea. I trust God. Some of God's people are a little bit weird, but but right now, in your list of things that are to be considered as, is there a value here? Is there a gain here? Put the church in. Put the school counselors in. Put the district attorney's office in. Put the Victims' Rights Association. Put the ACLU in there. Okay, there's no wrong answer to put on the list. Then as you start looking at what can one do for our goal, and the goal is to find justice and truth, and they're not always the same, and you can get one without the other sometimes, but you would like to have both of them, and you would like to have redress for the family. This is a wrongful death in the legal parlance. It sounds to me like it's assault with a deadly weapon with intent to commit murder. But
That's
a little bit to the far edge on this one. Create the bigger, go for the big idea. There is no wrong idea. And then as you look, some idea may not fit where you think it might, right, you know, or it might fit.
Right at that second, but there has to be the in-between of they're going to need help. They're going to need to heal.
They need help. They need financial assistance right now because of, I would assume this young man probably was not overinsured. He probably had a job. The vehicle, I got no idea how his insurance company is going to handle the loss on the vehicle. But so there's the cost of doing what that mother and family has to do now. And all of these things is a tremendous burden. There's lack of income and overdose on outgo. And people in a community will want to help. I've found this more and more and more. People want to rise to a challenge, and go to the. I mean, honest to God, you go to the police department or the sheriff's department, and you say, "I want to put these flyers up in your substations." You give them a chance to not say, well, they don't even want to talk to us. No, we want to talk to you because you're part of the community, and the community needs to be made whole. And if you get some cops out there and they're willing to run or ride or, you know, play pool or whatever you decide on a couple of things, you get some of the police officers, some of the sheriffs in, it might tend to heal. It might tend to just bring it to a head.
There's a real undercurrent. Right. I mean, it could heal a community, or it's going to make it violent.
You know, and that's something you and the community have to decide that.
Right.
They
should never make it violent. What it will do, if it's done correctly, is bring the community together.
Right, but what I meant was, you know, if it's not done the right way, it could bring the community to a violent point of the aspect
only,
of how the community
only if
is
the community's
look at
ready
sheriff's
to
ex- department.
Only if
but
the
no,
community is ready to explode, in which case you
right.
can't stop and
right.
and you can't take the blame for it.
Right.
But I understand what you're saying, but it's,
right.
that's something where as you get to that point, you have to do your best to read the community, you and however many people are helping you, you do these things. But don't automatically uninclude the agency.
Right. No, I
right.
wouldn't mean that
Try
at
and
all,
get them involved. Try and get them, because they have to deal with it.
Right. But I mean, some people in the community will not look at them the same way because of what took place.
Absolutely.
You
How
know,
big
but,
a community is
that,
this?
It's a
How
very
big?
Small community.
Very
it,
small.
It's not as big.
Well, I'd like to ask you, was there something that the young man enjoyed doing, jogging, basketball team, anything along those lines?
I think he enjoyed doing donuts and he got shot doing it.
Yeah. I mean, he just enjoyed being himself, you know. I mean, he was just an easygoing person. He wasn't violent. He didn't have a violent nature to him.
If he was a bass fisherman, you know, there's a bass fishing tourney in the family's name. You know, I mean, just you'd really let your mind run.
Right.
But I think that was Fran that brought up what was
right.
A personal connection. Is a marvelous way to do it because then it becomes more personal.
Yeah.
And the more personal you can have the participants feel, the better and stronger it is.
And hey, I'm going to ask all you guys to hold on for a minute. I got to do something here, and I'm going to play this song. This song is dedicated to that to the young gentleman.
Well, we need a name on him.
His name is Rick.
Thank you.
Okay, we're back. I just had to switch a couple things over because the assholes want to try and come in from the side, but got them at bay right now.
Well, that's a wonderful
song. That's freaking ridiculous.
Nice choice.
Yeah, his name is Ricky.
Yeah, this is, now, even though he wasn't military, is there a military, can he be buried in the military post?
No, the only way, well, here in Illinois, the only way you can be buried in a military cemetery is you have to have been in the service.
Yeah, it's that way too in Massachusetts over here.
I don't know what it would be like in Tennessee.
So if his father is military, he can't be
No, his father is military.
Okay. All right.
But it's a good spot, though. Thank you.
Well, the thing is then that brings in another whole avenue, which is the Patriot Guard doing other things as well.
I personally have a real good friend who's the ride captain down in Alabama for the PGR.
Well, you know, I'm assuming the funeral has already been done.
No, that's tomorrow at 10 in the morning.
Okay, God, I'm sorry, honey.
It's hard. I mean, her kids were the same age as mine. So my youngest is 20. So when she lost her daughter 3 years ago, she was just only a couple years older than my youngest. My oldest, or my son, is the same age, or my oldest daughter is the same age as her son. My middle child, they're just like close to a year apart. So our kids were right close together in age. So it's so awful. I mean, a single mom, and she just buried her second child. It's crazy.
If you can do this and put a timeline on it, if you can do those interviews, let's say within 2 months,
right,
and hit everybody and get all that done,
right,
then I would also put into that timeline a celebration of life.
Okay.
Now, with the celebration of life, this is what you'll need to do, is make it. Now, is there any particular type of event in that town that people really come out for?
That I'm not sure of, to be honest.
Because,
like, where they live, it's like what they call like a holler. So it's set away from a bigger town close by, okay? So they're really kind of back in what we would consider like a no man's area, kind of, you know, just all woodsy field area, if that makes sense.
Well, see, that, coming from back east,
right,
that would make perfect sense, but that was called Onion Town,
right,
and no one crossed the railroad tracks?
Right.
Okay. So we're talking similar to that? Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Since you're going to be coming into spring/summer.
Right.
Then hold the celebration of life as a picnic. This way the school children can come, families can come, and you just make it a festive event to celebrate the lives of both children.
Right.
And so then that gives closure for those that didn't get it, but at the same time, it allows you to keep it fresh.
Right.
And as long as you keep it fresh,
then you're applying pressure. And as long as there's pressure, then there's not much they can do about it.
Exactly. I understand what you're saying because I've seen it here in Illinois. It's been done here, you know, where it's like on an anniversary day. This is what the family did, you know, to remember a child or a family member that was wrongfully murdered, killed. So, yeah, I understand right where you're at with that.
I mean,
that brings a lot of people out.
That's where that's how I would look at it when you're talking, you know, Onion Town. That makes it a little bit tougher.
Right.
Because, I mean, for us back east, there was two sides of the tracks. One that you didn't cross, and the other ones didn't really partake in any of the events because of the tracks.
Right.
So it's walking a real fine line. And unfortunately, because of that fine line, it makes it even tougher because now the legalities, they're going to say, well, it was, you know, the tracks. It's you know what I'm saying? They're going to use that as we were defending ourselves because this is the type of family it is.
Right.
I mean, I've been there back east, so it's like,
it's not easy when you're looked upon that way. Period.
Yeah, that's now the other thing that you will need to do is get from character references on both children from the school teachers, from I don't know if they belong to a church or anything.
Yeah, my girlfriend does.
Oh, okay, then. From the parishioners, get a character reference on the children, on the family, because at that point, that all needs to go in. Also, if you can do a letter campaign, and now this is something that if you know who the judge is going to be,
right.
All right? Then this is what needs to be done is people, what we did with a couple of the bike events or situations is we had a kind of a form letter that was the first third of the page, which allowed another two-thirds of the page for people to write their own personal feeling and so forth on this. Sending it to the judge. Because now when the judge sees, or magistrate, whoever's going to end up with this case, if it's addressed to that person, the thicker that file is, then the more they take notice. And the reason they take notice is it a voted-in position or not? If it's a voted-in position, they know up front that they're being watched. Because of all these letters that were sent in.
Hey, I'm not in a voted position and I'm being watched.
Well, now they're mine.
I've got my X-ray goggles on. I'm watching you.
God, what's he wearing then? Is it good?
He's wearing pink underwear with blue polka dots.
You're wrong.
Wait, that was pink underwear with purple polka dots.
Obviously, you people never listen to Bill when he tells you I'm sitting here naked.
Oh, God.
Well, hell,
things must be sticking to the seat. That's terrible.
Oh, yeah, with the chapstick. Yeah, Phil likes to wear chapstick, so, you know.
You know something?
We listen to Bill.
My little guy always has his chapstick ready. Shoot.
I don't know if that was helpful.
Yeah,
maybe in here naked or what?
Oh, you naked? Oh, honey, I'm too old for that.
Well, it doesn't help me.
I don't think anybody's too old.
Yeah, and you know what? After burying mine, I there's not a whole lot that even make things. You know, it's like you know what? I really don't even care anymore.
Right.
But as far as the emotional and all that, if if there's anything that I or you know, I'd be more than happy to help with whatever I can.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it ain't cash.
No, because yeah. Like I said, I understand. You know, we're all in the same position. But like I said, it's just a tragic part of it all together. It's just so horrific. You know,
okay,
in fact, I'm sorry, I thought it was Monday night. It was Tuesday night because Phil and I were doing the Tuesday night show 2 days ago. And all of a sudden, my girlfriend is chiming up on me on my Facebook, and she's trying to call me. I'm like, you know, and I'm telling her, I can't call. I'm on the show. And then she told me, well, it was my girlfriend's sister. I'm like, I'll call you at 10 because, you know, I'm in Illinois, so, you know, you guys are 2 hours behind me. And I'm like, I'll call you at 10. And I was just like, and then for so long I was quiet. And so, you know, I couldn't tell Phil right away because I had to respect her and keep it private. And so once I saw everything, I was just mortified. I'm like, what? She's like, the police killed him. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know, I mean, it's just nuts.
Now, something else to remember, this will be a local elections time.
Yeah.
So going
is
to...
Is the sheriff up?
Well, not sheriff so much as your upper politician. Because when they have open forums, that's where you want to be there as an open forum with...
Good point.
Honey, would I do something like that? I'm sorry. but you do want to wear T-shirts of something or have... something in your hand, a button with a person,
okay.
their faces on a button and their names and the dates. Okay? And when you go to those politicians, when they're doing their, vote for me crap, all right?
Right.
And say, what are you going to do for me when they killed my family?
Right.
Yep. Beautiful.
I don't know nothing about this stuff.
I'm sorry?
I don't know nothing about this stuff.
Yeah, I know. Four people standing in the back of a room wearing matching T-shirts that have a picture of this young man and the death of and his date of death and four cops.
Right.
You know, and they just stand there quietly while you raise the point, the question, from the floor to somebody who's running for... councilman, alderman, district attorney, you bet.
All the way up.
And you're all. And every time one of these guys holds a community hand grab, man, these T-shirts show up or these buttons or hats or whatever to where the presence, a logo, a phrase, Ricky, 2-7-12, what happened?
Right.
With
you
Ricky,
know,
what happened to his sister? How was she killed?
She committed suicide because she was molested, and she was afraid to tell her mom.
Okay.
To have justice
and,
brought.
You know, I hate using a tragedy.
Right.
But
upon a tragedy.
I would put her on the back.
Right.
And say, suicide tragedy because of X, Y, and Z. And nothing was done. And then put his tragedy on the front.
And what was done.
And now saying, here's an additional tragedy that our police force caused.
Right.
And then also put... if you can put a website
together,
a website, yes. God, I wish you lived closer.
Do you understand the absolute range of action that you have available to you?
Now I do.
Do not discount the concept of anything.
Anything, right.
And, there's some serious, you're getting some serious pro advice here. This is,
right.
You know, there's a ton of experience on it.
You tell you, there's a wealth of information here that you can tap.
You know, and you know, I'm wandering around the country and I'm thinking, okay, what can I do to help here?
Facebook will be a biggie.
Right.
But now you need to also hook up with that Facebook.
Right.
With local state.
Oh, we're all on the Facebook.
Yeah, we're all on Facebook.
No. Wait. Oh. No, see, there's a difference between Facebook and then using Facebook for gain. And for gain in this case would be tapping into the Facebook of politicians, tapping into the Facebook of, I don't want to say rebel rousers.
Right.
Okay, but now, if you have them on your Facebook, any comment that is made, such as injustice, they will see that. So don't discard Facebook. Use Facebook not just for social. And I would actually open up a different Facebook.
Right.
I would say Rick's Day in Court or Ricky's Day, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
And then start cultivating your different people on that Facebook.
Right.
Then start doing the push. Cultivate them first and then do the push.
Gotcha.
I say, I wish you were closer, honey.
I know. We're all on all ends of the,
states
here.
Yeah, what a hell of a stew we make.
Yes.
From all over the place.
But you know what? From being all over the place, that just goes to show the power of open airway. It also shows the power of you put enough people together, we can make things work.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Or
we can
make a difference. Right. We all know plenty of people that could, you know, they know somebody or whatever the case may be in the chain of events take place, you know.
Who knows a friend who knows a friend who knows a friend.
Right.
Well, the problem
that,
I have
a 100-man march right up to the police station.
No, yeah, I'll tell you what.
Well, Merlin would be a good candidate for that.
Okay. When I don't
that sound like that
I
kind
have
of stuff.
Yeah, but I have to ask the question: Do the other people out there understand when we're talking Onion Town? Because
some of us do.
It's not a common phrase or explanation.
Right.
My thinking of having been both in the Holler Country, Tennessee, Kentucky, all that area, and in Onion Towns is that
it's different.
My thinking of Onion Town is that it's a portion of a town. The Hollers, you're dealing with a half a dozen families in a little valley, and then it's another little valley, and there's another half dozen families maybe.
Right. Back there, it's pretty rural.
No.
This is
a whole lot more backwoods, self-ruled.
And, the good old boys.
Okay. But we're talking independent families out way off the grid, you know, not off the grid, but way off the main road, and that's what I'm thinking. And these are, well, he had enough yard to be out doing donuts in the front.
15 acres of property.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's your property.
And,
you can do what you want on it, basically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean with that reason.
Yeah, so
well, the only reason I brought that up is obtaining the information that she needs.
Wow, my computer just went completely dead. Am I still in that chat room?
It may not be that easy.
I don't know.
You're still there.
All right, no, now it's back on. Who's messing with my stuff?
Interesting gremlins tonight.
Yeah. The whole thing just, like, went down and then came back up.
Poof. Poof.
I've never had that happen.
I call it poof.
Poof, yeah. It's a poof, all right. It's like a sparkle wiggle.
Yeah.
It sparkles and it wiggles.
Okay, the gremlins are back. Let me play this song. Let me do something. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, got him on the run. Go for it.
Okay.
You got who on the run?
Them. No matter
the gremlins.
Them, it's still only us.
The gremlins.
Can I throw in a real good shout out for shop that I
you
got
can
with
throw in whatever you want, buddy.
I spent the last 2 days in a town called let me turn on the light here. The bike broke. They do that sometimes. And blew a head gasket, and so I was told about a shop called Stormy's Garage in Enterprise, Alabama.
Uh-huh.
And I called them up, and I said, hey, look, here's what I'm doing. I'm traveling around the country, and my budget is such, and I need this fixed. And they said, bring it in. So I went in, and Scott owns the place, I think, and Drew is like the manager, and Jeremy and Clay. And these guys have got the neatest shop. It's clean. It's neat. They'll work anything. It's got two wheels. They like race bikes and customs. They got a dyno room tucked into the back of this building in a little town. Doesn't look like it ought to have a motorcycle shop, much less a great one. And they were able to work with me. They set me up with a little area in the back of the shop, offered to loan me any tools I didn't have, let me work on my bike in their shop, let me pull my little woody camper trailer into the back of the backyard and set up camp, and then proceeded to just take care of me like I was the world's greatest customer. And it was just absolutely amazing because they're so pro about it, so good. And I just really love it. Boy, you ever get into Enterprise, Alabama, and it's near Dothan and Fort Rucker area.
I've been to Dothan, Alabama.
Southeastern Alabama. And these guys at Stormy's Garage, it's just an amazing outfit and an amazing batch of guys. And I went to work on the bike about 9:30, 10 o'clock yesterday morning, and it all ripped apart. They ordered all of the parts, took care of getting a new barrel and piston for me. They had gaskets in stock for a 16-year-old bike.
Wow.
About any brand you wanted. I mean, I'm looking at what they had in the shop was 1971 Honda 754 and brand new rocker, Harley-Davidson rocker top tails, and you know, custom race sports job. And on the dyno, he's doing a GSR 600 that's producing 100 horsepower. I mean, just and they were absolutely amazing for it. I wouldn't ask anybody to loan me their shop and tools, and they did. And by noon today, it was done. I'd save hundreds of dollars doing my own work. But they took a look at what I was doing and said, you know what, here's something that maybe you didn't know, and it was. And that turned out to be the whole basis of the problem. We got that out, got the fresh parts in. Anyway, I really want to thank these guys and just offer up, boy, you get into that corner of the world and either just want to see what a good shop operates like or need work, Stormy's and Enterprise. It's just an amazing outfit. And that's my commercial for the small business in America, as opposed to Bill's, which I've liked and trusted for only 40 years now.
That's a favor. Send Phil the information, the address of the shop, and maybe we can set up a good guy Google webpage or site.
Oh,
actually, you can send me the info and have them guys send me, if you're still there, have them send me their info and I'll put it up on the blog for them.
Just so you guys know. I've got all the info with me. And because I told them that I was doing this tonight, and I wanted to do this for them. So yeah, I'll get it all to you. And if it can go on, boy, that's great. Because this is and Scott, he spent I think 20 years managing Harley-Davidson shops and race teams, they just quietly go about being the best I've ever seen. It's just fearless on what they work on. God, I'm looking at parts and here's BSA parts and everything else, but it's, yeah. Oh no, it was neat. It was neat.
Well, Merlin, what you can tell him is that the blog got 45,598 hits today.
Wow. Yeah, all I could tell him was it was probably in about 54 countries. 45,000. Man. All right, yeah.
We're in New Zealand, the Netherlands, Denmark, Germany, the United Kingdom, Australia, and Canada, as well as the United States.
And Alabama and Georgia.
We have the Ukraine. We have China. We have France, Germany, Australia, Russia.
Getting bigger all the time.
Slovenia. France.
Yes.
Brazil. They're just going all over the place. Like I said, France and then Brazil. Yeah, we're all over the place tonight.
Guys must be doing something right.
I think so.
We're just blowing raspberries. Sorry, I have to put a little humor in this because it's just been a past couple of days, you know.
When we stop laughing is when we begin to realize how bad it really does hurt.
I know.
But you have to laugh about something. And it keeps it in perspective, I guess. I don't know.
Exactly. You know, sometimes laughter is, as they say, the best medicine for the minute, you know. And then you get through it, and then you suck it up and keep going.
Well, one of the things is I've been traveling around. I've been you know, now and then I'll work on this book, a batch of short stories of what I've, you know, what I'm doing and what I've done for 40 years doing this kind of traveling. And basically the name of the book is, if you're not having fun now, wait till we tell the story.
Exactly.
Because everybody, we all laugh at ourselves sooner or later. Your friends
will
laugh.
Oh, I laugh at myself all the time.
You know?
So it makes it fun. But yeah, if ever you get done with your book, let Phil know so we know where to get it from.
Oh, it'll... the book. I've done a lot of writing, and then somebody will read it, and I'll go back and look at other stories, and I want to change things, and I have to teach myself not to re-edit the edits. Sooner or later, you got to say, stop it. That story's
just
done.
Leave
it
alone. Yeah.
You know, you want to try a different style, write a different story.
Exactly.
Hopefully, one day I need to ride with you.
I've thought about that, and I keep telling people, tell me where you're going to be, or I'll meet you anywhere in the country, and we'll ride together for a while. And
me with your book and me with my photography, we could do really so nice.
Merlin, just so I'm going to share this with everybody because this is something, I don't know if you guys remember Rodney Dangerfield. He got no respect, but Merlin, I want you to know that you get a lot of respect. But I think for a little humor, I'm going to play this.
Okay.
Shape, you know? Now, last week I told my wife she needed a home improvement loan. Jamie, $1,000 to move out. I'll tell you, my wife, there's always something, you know? Well, the other day I called her up. I said to her, honey, I've been thinking about last time we had sex. I'm getting excited. She said, who is this? I'll tell you, my wife, she never went through. Well, the first time I called her up, she told me, come on over. There's nobody home. I went over. There was nobody home. My wife, she drives me nuts. She was afraid of the dark. She saw me naked. Now she's afraid of the light. I tell you. I shouldn't tell jokes about my wife. I mean, she's attached to a machine that keeps her alive. The refrigerator. I tell you, my wife, she can't cook either. My house, she'd say after we eat. I bought a pressure cooker. Now I eat off the ceiling. What a lousy cook. I don't think meatloaf should glow in the dark. I mean, she can't cook at all. She made chocolate mousse and antler got stuck in my throat. Doctor, you know my doctor. Dr. Vinnie Boomer. I saw him last week. I told him, Doc, every day I wake up, I look in the mirror, I want to throw up. What's wrong with me? He said, I don't know, but your eyesight is perfect. Are you kidding? I know I'm a bit. I asked the bartender to make me a zombie. Told me God beat him to it. I tell you, you know when you're ugly, all right? Well, Halloween, my wife sends the kids out dressed like me. Halloween, a kid tried to pull my face off. And my kid, they flip a coin and see who has to kiss me goodnight. And I was an ugly kid, too. I told my old man he never took me to the zoo. He said, if they want you, they'll come and get you. Well, that's the story of my life. God ran over. So they're like, buddy, keep it down. Keep it down. I don't get no respect from anyone. Well, I called up suicide prevention. They tried to talk me into it.
Okay, there you go.
Cute.
I heard a lot of static.
Yeah. Well, somebody was breathing heavy.
I thought
no,
it was the water.
It's all that sticking to the vinyl seats in the studio there.
Oh,
wow. Oh no, I'm not in
oh,
the studio.
Bad
I'm
visual.
In Chicago.
Oh, bad visual. Oh my God. Out of them things, damn.
This is like the Hermes show last night.
Yeah, 1 second. Hello, Pete.
Yo.
Hey, you been listening?
I was listening. I called earlier from the tattoo shop. Ooh, I was going to have somebody come on, but my phone died.
You're in the middle of something really important, man.
Yeah, somebody's naked ass on a chair.
What, Aki Bunker? Aki Bunker is important. Oh, wait on. Rodney Dangerfield, I'm sorry. Rodney Dangerfield.
I need a laugh, thank you.
Oh, you want to laugh? You want to hear something funny? I went to an AA meeting tonight. And although I don't drink, I was ordered to go there by the court because I was arrested for OUI, impaired driving. There was a lady there that was she was 100 years old. And she'd been clean for like 60 years.
Wow.
And I couldn't believe it. I was like, you know, if I was 100 years old, I'd be getting shit-faced every day.
Who the hell would care?
You know?
Yeah, but just think, you add alcohol at 100 years old, Pete, and, you know, your body just kind of, I don't think it handles it well.
Would you really care, though, with 100? You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah, it would be a shame to throw away a 60-year chip.
And then it was a
lot. Yeah, I got 20.
It was a lot. I didn't realize there's so many gay alcoholics. I'm not saying to be, you know, sarcastic. Just when I left there, I
what?
Said to my girlfriend came with me and says, she called it gay A, not A. There was a lot of gays there, and they were friendly there. Yeah, you want some coffee, you want something to eat, you know, and I says, wow. You know, it was something else. There was a variety of people there. There was all kinds of people. It was strange for me because I had never been to an AA meeting like this before. I've been to AA meetings, but. You had a lady that was 100 years old, that was clean. You had, you know, all kinds of different people. People you'd never expect that had addictions. Pretty sad.
Hold on 1 second, Pete. Hello?
I didn't need that eardrum.
Yeah, no kidding.
Phil, do you cover the hearing aid cost? All that static, my drums aren't going to be banging anymore.
Art raised a good Art raised a good question here.
Go ahead. I knew you'd bite on that. Go ahead.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Wait.
Come on, Nora, spit it out, man. I'm not in front of the computer.
No, Art doesn't like spitters.
No.
Oh!
I'm not spitting. No.
Come on.
I don't have the computer on. You got to put it out in words. Put it verbal.
No, Art stated that, and we say that men are pervs. No, no. We're worse, but at least we admit it.
Wait a minute. Now you can
and his next question
yourself.
Is, where were all the nasty girls when I was single?
We're right here.
Oh.
Where are you?
I'm not nasty. I'm old.
I'm not nasty either.
I'm gonna hook up with that 100-year-old woman. We're gonna go have us some coffee at the AA meeting.
I'm the crazy cat lady.
Oh my God.
Art's gonna put us on a timeout. We have to behave. Okay.
Okay. Timeout.
Okay.
Bye.
I'm out.
Hey, I would like to say that on February 20th,
uh-huh.
99 people perished in the Station nightclub fire.
Wow,
I remember that?
X amount of years ago, and
in Rhode Island.
Yeah. And every year, I had friends that were there. I had friends who had family member perish in that fire. And it's still not settled. They don't have a proper memorial for these people. It's still all in crazy red tape, but just try to take time out on February 20th to, you know, remember those who were perished.
Yeah, that was terrible. I remember that.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. But Art says to tell you, old is relative.
And
most of my relatives
are
old, yeah.
Whose relatives are old?
Most of my relatives are old, yeah.
Okay, I got a joke for you guys.
Oh, God.
I'm going to change gears here a little bit. Okay. A man and his wife were working in the garden one day. The man looked over at his wife and said, "Your butt is getting really big. I bet your butt's bigger than that barbecue grill." With that, he proceeded to get a measuring tape and measured the grill, and then went over where his wife was working and measured his wife's bottom. "Yep, I was right. Your butt is 2 inches wider than the barbecue grill."
Oh, my
God. The woman chose to ignore her husband. Later that night in bed, the husband was feeling a little frisky. He made some advances towards his wife, who completely brushed him off. He said, "What's wrong, honey?" She answered, "Do you really think I'm going to fire up this big-ass grill for one little weenie?"
Oh!
Oh!
Oh! Oh!
Oh! Wait, I have one just. Wait, I have one just for Peter. I have one just for Peter.
Oh my God!
I have one just for Peter since he went to Gay AA. Why did the gay man
gay
get
AA.
Fired from his job at the sperm bank?
Why?
Because he got caught drinking on the job.
Oh, no. Now, that was just raunchy.
I know.
That was wrong.
That was the show reminds me of Howard Stern.
Ooh, we're getting there.
Who's Howard Stern? I love Howard Stern.
Who's
said
that
Howard
first?
Stern? Someone said Howard Stern. That's
yeah,
my man.
Peter did.
I love that man. That man's. He's
I
sexy.
Met him in New York City back in the 90s and...
Well,
do you
remember the little midget he hung with, Hank?
Yeah, he passed away.
Yeah, he's from where I'm at, dude. I used to hang out with him. Yeah,
he's from
Fall River.
Fall River or somewhere, right?
Yes, I was good buddies with Hank. Let me tell you something. Hank was the biggest drunk and heroin addict you could ever imagine. Yeah. Oh, yeah, but that man used to come up into Dunkin' Donuts. We all be chilling in Dunkin' Donuts. He'd come up and be, I mean, plastered off his ass and take the whole alphabet and name three bands for each letter of the alphabet. Yeah, he was something else. He was a trip, man. Hank was cool.
Stern underestimated him a lot because he would put him on the spot a lot and ask him questions. And he thought Hank was dumb. And Hank wasn't dumb. You know, he was just drunk all the time.
Hank had a bodyguard that walked, because Hank walked everywhere, and he had a bodyguard that lived a couple of houses down from him. And wherever you saw Hank walking, you know, up South Main Street, down North Main Street, there was a bodyguard a couple of feet behind him. But one night, these kids started picking on Hank, and Hank went off. The cops rolled up and everything, and the cops just sat back and let Hank plummel, like, three of these kids. Yeah, he was strong. He may have been short, but he was strong. Never underestimate him.
Ooh. He didn't take crap from anybody.
No, he didn't. Nope, I hung out with Hank for a long time.
I'm trying to think what nationality he was. He was some. I can't remember his nationality.
Howard Stern? Let's do it.
No,
Hank the dwarf. The drunk. Yeah. Hank the drunk. Dwarf. Whatever they call him. Mm-hmm. Hank the drunk. He was a dwarf.
We used to call him Hank the Spank. But that's what we called him. Man, I hung out with Hank every night at the donut shop. It's amazing. The people you come across.
I'm hooking it up now.
I'm getting some static from the other side. I'm going to play this song so I can knock him out of the box. Hold on a minute.
Oh, great. I need my hair.
Wagon.
I got a funny story.
Hey, listen, I heard something today on my local radio station. I love my local radio station, but that's besides the point. Van Halen is touring with Kool & the Gang. I think it's time they hang it up. You know?
Okay.
I mean, Van Halen was my band growing up, teenager in high school. Everything was all about Eddie, but they're touring with Kool & the Gang. There is nothing cool about a Van Halen concert that opens up with Kool & the Gang. I'm
sorry. Van Halen and the Gang.
Yeah.
Hey, that's unbelievable. They must be getting desperate.
That's what I was thinking.
They're
I'm like, my God, can they get nobody?
They're playing Mohegan Sun. And so that's where they all go when they can't get gigs anymore. They end up playing for free at Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun.
Oh, I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, my God.
So, Phil, I got something funny to tell you.
Hey.
We were at a Chinese food today, and the place, the town I live in, is a little Chinese restaurant. They don't use anybody to deliver the food, so they sent the dishwasher this time. Guy washes dishes there. I don't even think he has a driver's license. He doesn't speak English. So, you know, when I call in, they got my phone number there on their caller ID, and it comes out on the slip, the delivery slip and all that. So the phone rings. We're waiting for the food, and we see this name on the caller ID. I don't know, it said Long Duck Dong or something on it. I can't remember what it said. It was a Chinese name. And my brother says, "Who the hell's that?" I said, "I don't know." So I answered it, and I put it on speakerphone, and I said, "Hello." And the guy screams. He says to me, because I got big dogs in my house. They're afraid of people are afraid to come in the house. I got a Rottweiler, and I got a Boxer. The guy says, "Hello." He says, "Hello. You come to dinner. You come to dinner." I said, "Excuse me? You come to dinner?" I couldn't know what the hell it was. I opened the door. There's the guy with the food. He was trying to say, I got your dinner or something. But came out as, you come to dinner. I thought somebody was asking me to dinner. We couldn't understand what the hell he was saying because he's Chinese. He's like, you come to dinner. He's afraid to come in my house because of my dogs. And we opened the door, and there he is, a little tiny Chinese guy with my food delivery. It was hilarious, man. You know, we thought he was asking us to dinner. And it was funny. You had to be there. You know, they won't come in my house because my dogs usually go after them. You know, they jump on them. So the guy's out there, and it was funny. It was funny. You had to be there. He said, I couldn't understand what the hell the guy was saying. You come to dinner. You come to dinner. My brother says, you come to dinner? What the hell is he talking about? He's asking you to dinner. The fuck is asking me to dinner? I open the door, and there's the guy with the food. I'll throw that at you. It was pretty funny, actually. You had to be here.
Well, like the guy said, sometimes, you know, your mom should have swallowed.
You better quit that stuff. That's just bad. That's just wrong. Wrong.
The
no,
comes
some people
we
got all this, should have
for
swallowed.
Hey, wait a minute.
We got all this
house
talk
on the
about
prairie type girls.
We got all this talk about and all kinds of shit. So
we ain't
figured
talking about poop.
Hey, Phil, I got a friend request on Facebook from this girl with big boobs, and she's got this tank top on, and it says, "Avoid teen pregnancy. Take it in the ass." Right? So I added her. And I thought it was a joke, but it's a real person. She's a real person. She's some type of, I don't know, she's just a model or stripper or something. And I said, you got to be kidding me. It was a real picture. And that's just the T-shirt she had on. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
What lady would wear that, you know? Obviously, she's not a lady.
I don't know. Tomorrow I got to go to a meeting, so I dug out one of my shirts that says, blow me.
Aw. That's not right.
Well, I have a shirt that says it ain't going to lick itself.
Well, you wear it?
I wear it all the time.
Oh, my God. What do the men say? I mean,
they don't
women,
say nothing.
They?
Really? That's pretty sad.
I don't have no shirts like that. I'm sorry. I'm just running around in my pink fuzzy slippers and my pink rollers looking like Carol Burnett, you know?
It's amazing.
I'm just Carol Burnett, that's all.
It's amazing.
Call me Carol.
Matt lives in Fall River. And, No, you know what's funny about people from Fall River? They all have Rhode Island accents.
Yo, don't knock the Fall River.
Oh, but you guys have Rhode Island accents. It's like it's Massachusetts, but it's, I guess, well, you're next to Rhode Island. That's why, right?
That's because, like, where Fall River is, it's only 10 minutes away from Providence.
Okay. Oh, so I don't get on there, so, I mean,
So it's like, but people say we sound more like
New York. Jersey.
New Yorkers, I mean, we have our own way of saying coffee, you know, you want to go
you
for
say
a coffee?
Coffee.
A what? And like,
you say clicker?
Clicker? What's a clicker?
Yeah.
What's a clicker? What is that?
The remote.
No, there's
a
no
lot
such thing
of
as
New Yorkers don't
coffee.
Say remote.
Hang on one second.
Sorry.
Hey, we got a caller on Skype. Are you want to talk or you just want to listen?
If they're on Skype, they might want to blow you kisses.
Make sure the chat stick is ready.
No, that's probably Eva Lee calling, and he was going to call in.
No.
Who?
They're not answering, so I muted him again.
Oh.
I didn't
don't
know
you love them random
from,
callers
right.
That just, you know, they don't have nothing to say.
No.
I'm going to make a request.
Go ahead, Fran.
Oh, she's Fran's still here. All right.
Why?
Yeah.
I guess you're listening.
Here's with the Goof Patrol now.
If Richie, whatever dedication or what's going on for Richie tomorrow, if everyone can just remember to say a silent prayer for the family and everyone, if she can keep us up to date as to what's going on.
Yeah, I can do that.
If there's anything that we can do to support you, then please, by all means.
I'll let Phil know.
Okay.
Because Phil knows how to get a hold of you, you know.
Yeah, Phil knows where I live. He's one of the few. Although he's also one of the few that don't run when I answer the door.
Well, you know, Fran, I'm gonna tell you something. I talked to Bill today, and just so you know, and Art and everybody, and this is more like a San Diego thing. But what we're gonna do is, since Barry and Carol were murdered in their house,
wow.
And Bill talked to the people today. Show them we're gonna try and. Like Bill said, we want to try and raise the awareness and see if we can get to the bottom of this and find out who did what.
Can you call me after the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can do that.
I can't do this on the phone, on the air.
I know.
Call me when you get off.
I will. And then we're down to the last 6 minutes, so it's...
Remember the old line, 6 minutes, Dougie Fresh, you're on.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't start now. Hang on.
My age is shining through.
Let me finish.
Well,
okay. Okay. So what I want to do is invite everybody back Tuesday, and Laura will probably be co-hosting again Tuesday. And
Well,
asked for an REO Speedwagon song, so since the last 5 minutes.
Please don't do that. Please. Let me sign off before you REO Speedwagon us to death.
Hey, wait. Stick around for this one, because this when you hear this song, you're going to start laughing. Okay?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Because Phil and I know what it's in regards to, so it's not in the manner that you think.
No.
With the people that go poof.
Right. So this is the appropriate. I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in, for joining the conversation, for calling in, taking the time to participate in the show. And I really appreciate that. And the listeners will probably be laughing their ass off tomorrow, because we'll get anywhere from 5,000 to 6,000 hits on the archive tomorrow. So
wow.
I just want you guys to know that this is REO Speedwagon. This one is self-explanatory. And I just want to say, I might not be back before the song's over, but I want to say goodnight to everybody, and I'll take us out with this song. Good night, everybody.